Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Come on in, WIP Daily, Joe Giglio with you. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribe, follow the podcast, Chris, the YouTube feed, 94WIP. That's how you check it out on YouTube. Phillies win last night and a really quality win, what an October fielder with big game. Milwaukee, a team they could see in October, and the Stars carried the day with the home run by Bryce Harper, home run by Castellanos, Trey Turner chipping in, and of course the pitching, the dominant pitching of Zach Wheeler. And I just want to do an episode of the pod today just to appreciate the pitcher Zach Wheeler is, because we're watching one of the great free agent signings in baseball history, watching one of the great free agent signings in Phillies history, in Philadelphia sports history, and we're watching a guy that is locked in. You know, he had a bad start, Zach Wheeler. You go back to late July against the New York Yankees, that series where the Phillies got swept at home against the Yankees. And since then, Wheeler has been unhittable. It's a shame, and, you know, obviously good for him, and he's done a good job. It's a shame that Chris Sale has had this great of a season, because he's likely to win the National League Cy Young. But what Wheeler has done, it's incredible. 2.56 ERA this season. He's allowed two runs or fewer in nine straight starts, only the second Philly ever to do that. We're watching a guy that goes out there every single start and gives you about six or seven innings. Every single start is striking out, you know, between six and nine batters. Every single start is limiting his walks. Every single start, the guy goes out there and just quietly dominates the opponent. He is as good of a pitcher as there is in baseball. If I have one game to win right now in Major League Baseball, he is on the very short list of pitchers I want on the mound. And his presence with the Phillies, in, you know, pushing towards having the bye and the number one overall seed, his presence, if the Phillies take care of their business, could allow this team to start every series with him on the mound. It is the ultimate advantage. Like, you think about the NLDS. Let's say they're going to see the Padres, or they're going to see the Arizona Diamondbacks, or perhaps the Mets. Okay, those teams are going to have to go through a two- or three-game wild card series. Remember, the Phillies are going to set this thing up where Zach Wheeler is rested and ready at home in front of the crowd at Citizens Bank Park, ready to rock and roll in the start of this postseason. I'm going to pull up Zach Wheeler's numbers so far this year, and I'm going to pull up his numbers just to take a look at what he has done in Philadelphia, because both of the numbers are remarkable. It's not just Zach Wheeler, the now. Because, you know, a lot of guys have good seasons, and Zach Wheeler's having a great season. He's having a Cy Young caliber season. I just think it's going to end up where Chris Sale wins the award. But this is a Cy Young caliber season out of Zach Wheeler. So Zach Wheeler right now, after you factor in the start last night against the Milwaukee Brewers, and by the way, that's a good lineup and a good team, and a team that's scoring a lot of runs, you know, in the second half of the season. Wheeler now is 16-6 with a 2.56 earned run average. He has had a brilliant career in Philadelphia. This is his masterpiece, though. So in his first year, which was the pandemic season of 2020, he had a 2.92 ERA. Okay, and he came back the next year in 2021, where a lot of people believe he should have won the Cy Young Award. Corbin Burnes took it, although he pitched a lot less innings. Corbin Burnes in 2021 took the Cy Young, even though Wheeler was 14-10 with a 2.78 ERA, three complete games, led the league in innings pitched at 213.1. 2022, the year the Phillies went to the World Series, Wheeler was very good again. Now, he pitched less because he had an injury in August. He went on the IL. I'm not sure he was ever quite fully right in the postseason, but he gave them a lot. He gave them what he had. 12-7, 2.82 earned run average. Last year, 13-6, 3.61. He went a little backward in terms of the ERA, but he was brilliant again in the postseason and overall very, very valuable during the season. This year, the 16-6 and the 2.56. Zach Wheeler now has made 131 starts in a Phillies uniform. He owns a 2.94 earned run average. He has pitched in Philadelphia to a 2.96 fielding independent pitching. He has been, since he got here, as good of a pitcher as there is in Major League Baseball, as steady of a pitcher as there is in all of Major League Baseball. And the Phillies have this guy now locked up for years to come. And, you know, I was thinking about Wheeler and his career and watching him last night. And it's like, we're all in this zone. We're living in the moment and we're talking about how great he is. And it's the truth. He is a great pitcher. He works hard at his craft. He keeps himself in shape. He's gotten past all those injuries he had when he was young. He is a great major league pitcher. And I'm watching him last night. I'm thinking to myself, how much more does he have to do? Like, at what point can we start the Zach Wheeler Hall of Fame conversation? Is it a ridiculous thing to say out loud? Is it a totally unfair, nonsensical, no shot because he started late, because he had a late start to his career as a late bloomer? Is it an outrageous idea? And so I'm thinking about that last night as I watched the game, and I'm watching him do what he does. And my first thought was, he probably can't do it, right? Zach Wheeler probably can't make the Hall of Fame. Right now he's at 103 wins, a 3.34 ERA. He is sitting at, in terms of his wins above replacement at Baseball Reference, a 34.5. So my first thought was, he can't make it. He started too late. He's not going to rack up enough, you know, everything you need to get there. In terms of value, in terms of counting stats, you know, for his career, we're talking about a guy that right now has 1,600 strikeouts, 1,606. And that was my thought. It's probably not going to happen because of all the time missed in 2014, 2015, 2016, 2017. I mean, he didn't pitch. He arrived in the big leagues. I remember watching him come up in 2013. He pitched 2 years. He made a grand total of 49 starts those 2 years. He didn't pitch again from the end of 2014. We didn't see him on a big league mound again until he had a 5.21 earned run average in 2017. 2015, 2016, 2017, he basically was out of sight, out of mind as a legitimate major leaguer. 3 years in the middle of his career, he was just gone because he was hurt, and then he came back and he stunk at a 5 ERA. So out of sight, out of mind for 3 years. To try to come back from that and to be a Hall of Famer, you know, feels like a very big ask. Yet, it is possible because of how good he is, how durable he is. Obviously now signed up to a new contract, so he'll be here for years to come. But I was just trying to think of a comp. Is there a comp? Like, who could he end up being like if he continues down this path? And so I started, you know, playing around on Baseball Reference and just, you know, kind of looking at some numbers of guys in their particular stage of their career, similar to Zach Wheeler in his stage of his career. And I found one, and I'm telling you, it blew me away. It blew me away because I think on balance, I think on the surface, you would look at the name or just read or hear the name I'm about to say, and you would say, just stop. Like, he's not as great as he is. He's probably not actually in that class, that he's not on the same level as this guy. And before I looked at the numbers, I would have said, yeah, you're right. It probably is a silly comparison. But I decided, you know what? Let's look it up. Let's find a guy who popped in his late 20s, had some issues early, whether it be injuries or inconsistency, and then he found it in his late 20s, just to kind of find a comparison to how much more is possible for a pitcher, you know, with this kind of story. And then what is it like? Who did this before and ended up making the Hall of Fame? So I just, you know, if you ever do it on Baseball Reference, Pro Football Reference, Basketball Reference, you could compare two players, and it gives you the stats side by side. You kind of tailor the statistics for, you know, the first 3 years of their career, the whole career, a block of years, whatever you want to do. So Zach, you know, pretty much from his fourth year in the majors, 2018, through now, his 10th year, this has been when he's arrived, 2018, 2019 with the Mets, and then obviously 2020 through now with the Phillies. That's when he's become the pitcher he's become. And I went and looked, and similarly, in his fourth year, it's when Randy Johnson really started to emerge in Seattle and become an excellent pitcher. And Randy Johnson, we know, went on to win over 300 games and a ridiculous amount of Cy Youngs with the Diamondbacks and the Mariners, okay? And I looked, so I'm like, all right, what's Zach Wheeler, his fourth year through his 10th year, which is now, and he has a couple more starts, depending on how the Phillies structure this down the stretch, but certainly at least one more. I think he would take that second turn and just keep himself on term. But at least one more full go this weekend against the Mets for Zach Wheeler. So what's Zach Wheeler's year 4 through 10 compared to what Randy Johnson's year 4 to 10 looked like? What was that? And here's what I found, okay? Over the 4 years, over this, the 7-year stretch, fourth year of Randy's career through his 10th year, fourth year of Wheeler's career through his 10th year. And by the way, just to kind of factor in a couple things with innings pitched, with wins above replacement, with counting stats, one of these years for Wheeler was a pandemic season. Now, to be fair, one of the years for Randy Johnson was a strike-shortened season, but the pandemic season was shorter than the strike-shortened year. There was almost inverse. The baseball season started in late July, early August in 20. It ended in mid-August in 1994. So I think you probably could have fairly given Wheeler 15 to 20 more starts on his ledger, and you could add up what you think those stats would have been, and you could have probably given, you know, big unit 8 more starts on his ledger, 7 more starts, and you add up what that would have been. But yeah, I mean, the gap would have been closed a little bit on the counting stats. That being said, here are the numbers. Wins above replacement in those years. Randy Johnson, 35.2. Zach Wheeler, 32.6. It's only about a 2.5 win gap, less than a 3-win gap. And I think it would have been even closer if Wheeler got to pitch that 2020 full season. Game started, 5 more by Johnson, 196 to 191. Again, that'd be pretty close to even if not for the pandemic. Game started, 191 for Wheeler, 188 for Johnson. It would have been more for Wheeler, and it is anyway. Innings pitched, Randy got to 1,327 and two-thirds. And for Wheeler, 1,193 and two-thirds. Again, another one where if you add, let's say, 100 innings to the total, you know, that gap might just be maybe 100 innings between the two guys in the 7-year span. Win-loss record, 144 for Randy, 82 and 46 for Wheeler. Earned run average, 3.17 versus 3.17, identical. Earn run average plus, ERA plus, compared to the league, 140 for Johnson, 129 for Wheeler. Obviously factors in the beginning of the steroid era and a very high run-inducing time in the late 90s, okay, mid-late 90s. Strikeouts, 1,651 for Randy, 1,254 for Wheeler. K percentage, 29.9 versus 25.9, that would be advantage unit. Walks, 289 for Wheeler, 634 for Randy, and walk percentage, 6 for Wheeler, and 11.5 for Randy. So if we're doing the tail of the tape, Wheeler, in his best 7-year stretch, which we're wrapping up right now, started more games. He had identical ERA. He had less walks, a better walk percentage. Randy beat him in innings pitched. He beat him in adjusted ERA. He beat him in strikeouts. He beat him in K percentage. If you even out that pandemic year, the gap is very tiny in innings. The gap is very tiny in innings. It's games go to Wheeler. I looked at this. I was blown away. I mean, the WAR is almost identical. It's less than 3 wins separated to the pair of them over a 7-year stretch. And I think that gets cut down to maybe a win and a half if you play out the 2020 season fully. Maybe a win and a half. So we're talking about two guys that are very, very close compared to the league as they found it for the first 7 years of their prime. Now, of course, Randy Johnson went on to continue to dominate for probably another 6 years before he, you know, he started to fall off. And maybe it was, I'd say 6 more years, 98 through 03. About 6 more years, Randy was excellent. About 6 or 7 more years, he was excellent. Now, can Wheeler do that? You think no, but if you asked me in 1997 or 1998, would Randy Johnson keep doing this for the next handful of years? I would have said no. Can Zach Wheeler? He's not slowing down right now. He said last night his fastball was crappy in the bullpen, and he went out there and he's pumping fastballs at 70% of the time last night by the Milwaukee Brewers. Great outing, great pitcher. Cannot wait to watch him on the mound in Red October. An appreciation of Zach Wheeler has been a great Philly. is a great major league pitcher. And maybe he's on a path that we didn't consider before. Maybe a path to Cooperstown. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, follow the podcast. Of course, our YouTube feed, 94 WIP. Check it out there. We will talk soon.